Hello, I'm Alan Fadling.
And I'm Jem Fadling. Welcome to the Unhurried Living Podcast. We're here to help people rest deeper, live fuller, and lead better. Today we're discussing one of my favorite subjects, spiritual direction.
Oh, yeah.
We're sharing a conversation I had with Beth Burum of Sustainable Faith Indy. We'll get to that in a minute, though. So I thought it would be good if we both shared a bit about our experience with spiritual direction from the standpoint of being both a director and a directee.
Okay.
So I have a couple questions here that I thought maybe both of us could answer.
Sounds good.
The first one is, what do you love most about being a spiritual director?
Well, I think for me, it's being a witness to what Jesus does in the life of another over time. You know, I'm meeting about once a month with folks, and in some of those cases, we've been meeting for years. And so I know a story. I'm watching a story unfold over those years, and I can remember places of wrestling and struggle so many years ago that now have really become a place of peace and trust, and I just get to be a witness to that. It's like I'm witness to all of these Jesus stories, and I really love that. It's a great privilege.
Similarly, I love that too. We both love watching people move along in their own journey with Jesus, and for me, the privilege of listening, of noticing, And really what happens is the aha moments of the directee.
Yeah.
And when light bulbs go on and sort of spiritual floodgates open, there's really no greater joy than that. And it really is just sort of a space that we provide, a safe place to be heard.
Yeah, and those aha moments, they're not so much like a preacher's aha moment where the preacher says something amazing and the congregation goes, ooh, aha.
Right.
But in spiritual direction, it's more like you're the witness of the aha moment.
Yes.
Where God's Spirit just sort of brings light, shines light, or the directee just hears themselves say something. And that becomes the aha moment. So the aha is rarely about you and I and something we've said.
Right.
But it's more like something that happens in that conversation between them and God. That's really fun.
Yeah, I've noticed people mostly have their own answers within them. And it's just a matter of speaking some things out loud, and you start to connect the dots and to see. And it's a spiritual director who knows how to maybe ask a good question or just provide a nudge can make a space available for the person to come into that on their own.
Yeah, what if the scriptures are actually true and it says you know, that the Spirit will lead you into all truth?
Yes.
Maybe that actually happens.
Yes.
And that is one of the things we see happening in a real living way in the context of a spiritual direction appointment.
Yes, it's a really beautiful, beautiful process. And then sort of on the flip side, asking this next question, what have you learned or appreciated about being a directee?
Yeah, so I've been in spiritual direction for at least a decade and a half, and that's in the more formal sense. I've probably received spiritual mentoring and even direction in a more informal way for longer than that. And as I think about those relationships, I think the gift of an objective perspective, someone who's not inside my head, someone who's not inside my heart with all those jumbled thoughts and feelings and wrestlings and worries and concerns and fears and insecurities and whatever. So there's that person whose role is simply to be a witness and a listener, and having that available to me. You know, we use the language of sounding board, but it's more alive than just something that bounces off. You know, it's a living kind of listening. And, you know, with that comes the gift of wisdom, you know, someone else who's walked down the road a bit, the perspective, the wise perspective they bring. There's the reality of care, you know, sort of experiencing the love of God through the words and the presence of another has been an immense gift. And then I think having someone else who's holding, you know, my journey and witnessing my journey over time, who can make connections and help me see that. Those are a number of the things that really help me and have helped me over time in spiritual direction.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I'm not going to say much different than that. Yeah. I've actually had the same director now for 9 years.
Is that right?
I didn't realize it's been that long. And she's wonderful. She's older than me. She's of a different faith tradition than me. And I actually appreciate our differences because she is so gracious. She, as you said, holds my story. Mm-hmm. She sees who I am and over the long haul is helping me to connect the dots.
Yeah.
And she'll make suggestions or notice something or say, hey, remember when? And even just having her input from her own point of view in mm-hmm. who she is has been so, so really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not a very fancy way to say it, but so helpful, so life-giving. The absolute non-judgment. And
that's huge, isn't it?
Oh, someone who will listen to everything you say and not critique it.
Yeah. Not start there. Not start with, here's what's wrong with what you just
right,
said.
Right, or here's what you can do
here's
to fix it.
Here's how you could do that better. Here, let me correct you.
Right.
Which really inspires us to open up and be vulnerable.
Right.
Not.
Right. Right. And the conversation may actually aim there, and we can talk about how that might not be the best way to think. But we don't start there. What we start with is an openness. She is willing to hear me mm-hmm. say anything and everything that's going on in my heart and my soul so we can look at it together in God's presence.
Yeah.
And that is a gift. And then, yes, discernment comes in, right?
Of course, right.
Of course we're discerning. We're making choices. But we don't start with judgment.
Yeah, what we bring into the light in the context of that kind of confidential, trusting conversation has the opportunity to be transformed.
Yes.
But it has to be brought into the light first. You know, I can't be transformed in those places where I'm hiding
right.
or pretending or wearing a mask. And in direction, you know, we can take the risk of saying exactly what's on our hearts and exactly what we've been thinking, no matter how embarrassed we are by it or confused by it we are or whatever.
Yeah, it is a wonderful, wonderful gift.
Yes.
So some of you have been listening to us so far and you're thinking in your mind, what in the world is spiritual direction?
Yeah.
We didn't really define it yet, but we hope so far with this little piece of our conversation that we've tantalized you. When I actually get into my conversation with Beth Borum, which we're going to do next, she defines it and we talk about it.
Yeah.
And I ask a lot of really good questions. I think you're really going to enjoy that. But Beth, let me introduce her. She's just a really gracious person and so easy to talk with. Alan, you and I actually got to stay with them last winter.
Yeah, in Indianapolis.
In Indianapolis at Sustainable Faith Indy, and it snowed. We were Californians, so when we...
Yeah, for us, snow is magical because we don't live in the middle of it all the time.
But it was the perfect kind of snow that lasted for about a day and fell beautifully and quietly, so we enjoyed that. But more important than that, we found Beth and her husband Dave to be kindred spirits. They're really gifted at providing spiritual hospitality and sacred space for those who come into their presence.
So a little bit more about Beth. She, along with her husband David, is the founder and director of Sustainable Faith Indy, a retreat center in Indianapolis. She leads the School of Spiritual Direction and speaks around the country on topics related to spiritual formation and Christian leadership. She has authored several books, including Awaken Your Senses and Starting Something New, Spiritual Direction for Your God-Given Dream.
Well, let's dig into it. I hope you enjoy Beth's insights into spiritual direction. Well, Beth, welcome to our podcast, and I'm so happy to have this conversation with you. Alan and I were with you earlier this year, and we absolutely loved our time at your retreat center there in Indianapolis. So welcome.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. Really glad to participate in this wonderful Unhurried Living ministry and your podcast.
Well, thanks so much. I've been looking forward to this conversation, actually, because I'm a spiritual director and you're a spiritual director, and I love spiritual direction. I've actually found it to be
kind of a lens through which I live my life now. And so I'm looking forward to talking about this. And actually, I wanted to start a little more personally by just asking you, how do you meet with God? What's your personal experience sort of intending your own prayer and contemplative life?
Yeah. Well, that's an important question, isn't it? For anyone who is companioning another person on their spiritual journey. And I would say the kind of primary piece of my life that I think really supports my spiritual life is what I call a slow morning. And both David and I really have made a very disciplined and concerted effort for quite some time now to spend some significant time each morning. We are early risers and probably early to bed as well, but we get up around 6 or so, and we don't schedule appointments until about 9:30. Now, that doesn't mean that we sit for 3.5 hours in prayer, but I would say we probably do it's not uncommon for me to be in my office, in my chair, for a couple of hours. And during that time, I have probably kind of a typical rhythm of that morning. It really starts, honestly, with grabbing my cup of coffee and simply looking out the window. And sometimes it's dark and sometimes it's not, but just allowing myself to greet the morning and wake up a little bit. And then generally I am in the process of reading something that is spiritually nurturing, a book of some kind. And so I'll usually start with that and then transition to whatever scripture readings I have for that particular day. I follow the lectionary oftentimes. And I will practice the spiritual practice of Lectio Divina, which probably at least a good number of people listening would understand, a divine reading where I read a passage, a short passage, several times and really try to pay attention to how God is connecting with me through the passage. And then sometimes that will involve a little bit of journaling. I don't journal every day, but I do journal frequently. And then for the last many months, I've had a really focused commitment to practicing centering prayer or contemplative prayer, which involves really about a 20-minute segment of time where I sit in quiet contemplation of God, oftentimes with a breath prayer or a word that I repeat, and I just sit in the silence of that 20 minutes with the desire really to bask in God's presence and be open to God's presence. And so it's not a time where there's a lot of words or when my mind gets stirred up, and which it does, I don't practice this perfectly, but I will come back to that experience of just being present. So that's been very important, especially at this season of my life in developing a contemplative life that I think allows me to live out of the fullness that God has for me and offer something to others.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful, wonderful rhythm. I'm relaxed just listening to you talk about it.
Well, I feel like I also want to add the caveat. It's not, I don't do this perfectly.
Right.
It's not this angelic 2-hour period of my day where it's rough and tumble some days. But that is in general a pretty consistent practice. And I think maybe because we have committed to that for many, many years, it would be hard to do life without our slow mornings.
That is a wonderful, wonderful encouragement.
Yeah.
Well, how do you find then that, because that's a lot of soul nurturing. And I hear you say, you know, it's not done perfectly and none of us do. And some days we miss or we add or subtract, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as that is a pattern and a rhythm of your soul, how do you find that helps you move into the day? How does it help you as a person or a wife or even a spiritual director?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I think it really does. And I will hear directees comment and say the same thing. It's as though it can set a trajectory for the day. It maybe helps me find that kind of posture that enables me to be open and present. Now, it's not that I don't disconnect from that. I certainly do. But I think it, for instance, I had a rich time this morning. And then I had an appointment at 9:30 with a new spiritual direction client who's never been in spiritual direction before. And so as I sat in my chair preparing to meet with this person, what I noticed is that I was able to return to where I had been a couple of hours earlier. And it felt like I found the way much more easily because I had been there in the morning. So I settled in, opened myself to God, sat quietly to listen and prepare and pray for her as she was on her way. And yeah, I think it also blessed our time because I was in a good space.
Oh, I'm sure of it. It's kind of like you're digging a groove in that time with God, and then you can sort of easily sort of, you know, slip into that when you're with someone else, and that pattern just continues.
I love that. I love the groove. Yeah. The idea of a groove, or kind of like a trailblazer. Like,
yes.
You know, they cut a path through the woods, and when they keep doing that, they're able to find that path again.
Right, right. I love that image. Well, I suppose before we get too far into this, for maybe some of our listeners who don't even know what are we talking about, I'd love to hear your favorite definition of spiritual direction.
I probably explain it a little bit differently each time I meet with someone. But I decided that I would go with my classic favorite definition from my favorite book, which is a book by the title of The Practice of Spiritual Direction by William Barry and William Connolly. And you're nodding. I bet it's a book you've read. Most people have read it if they've been trained in spiritual direction. It's just an amazing and beautiful book on spiritual direction. But Barry and Connolly say that spiritual direction is help given by one believer to another that enables the latter to pay attention to God's personal communication to him or her, to respond to this personally communicating God, to grow in intimacy with this God, and to live out the consequences of the relationship.
What a wonderful, beautiful definition. Can you unpack that just a little bit from your understanding and experience?
Yeah, I think what the reason I love spiritual direction so much is because it when we spend time listening to another, we are looking through the lens of their experience of God and helping them recognize how God is engaging with them, communicating with them, how they are responding or not responding, how they might long to respond to his initiative. And it's all based on their own yearning and desire for deeper intimacy. And as they hear what God is speaking, then they are able to live out the consequences of what they're hearing from God. And so, for instance, and I can refer to this person I met this morning in a very general way. I don't think anyone listening would have a sense of who this is. But as I sat with her, and someone completely unfamiliar with spiritual direction, what became evident is that God is inviting her to become more present, to live with greater presence. And once she was able to identify that longing and desire and then recognize that it indeed was God who was stirring that desire within her, I think it gave her a great excitement and desire and curiosity to live with intention toward that desire.
Yeah, I love how sort of gentle and gracious a process spiritual direction is, isn't it? That that someone's on a journey, it's their life with God, and he is the one who is initiating and engaging and enlivening. And as a spiritual director, just the joy of being there to maybe sort of, you know, you know, ask a question or make a comment or whatever. But it's always done gently and with wisdom, hopefully. But my favorite, one of my favorite metaphors for spiritual direction, and you've probably read this book too, Holy Listening by Margaret Gunther. Oh. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the one that really meant the most to me in my earlier readings, is that of midwife.
Oh, yes.
That there's a that was her whole thing of a spiritual director is like a midwife. There's a process that's going on that is God-given, and obviously it's the woman who is engaged in that process. But the midwife is there to usher in new life. Mm-hmm. And I've always just found that to be just such a beautiful metaphor.
And I love that.
Yeah, and you're sitting with that woman today and being there in that moment when she has an epiphany about being present and mm-hmm. what that could mean for her. And you said it enlivened her curiosity.
Yes. Yeah, I love what you just shared, Jem. And it reminds me of, you know, in our training, how we talk about the fact that as spiritual directors, we do not come with an agenda.
Right.
And a midwife doesn't have an agenda other than to be supportive in the birthing process.
Right.
But she doesn't come saying it has to be like this, it has to last this long, you have to do this or that. She simply is a supportive presence. So
I do love that so much.
Yeah.
Well, we can't go too far into this conversation without bringing up a really important topic, which is listening. And I have to confess, sometimes I know that this is what spiritual direction is all about, but sometimes I do feel within myself sort of that tension, like, shouldn't I be doing more than this, you know, sometimes? I was meeting with someone last week, and she spoke much of the time, which happens a lot because people are coming in to be heard and to share their lives. And on that particular day, I felt like maybe I didn't say enough, which is, you know, maybe I shouldn't be judging whether or not I'm doing that, but you know what I mean? Sometimes you feel like there's something else you should have been doing. But she sent me a note later and just said, thank you for your gracious listening. It is so healing.
Mm.
And it reminded me again that listening is a real thing. It's a real gift we give to people. So I'd love to hear you talk about the art of listening to God and to the other person at the same time. And how does that work for you?
Yeah, I think you're so right. It is all about listening. And what we often say is it's kind of a three-way listening.
Right.
It's listening to the person we're sitting with, which we often call our directee, while simultaneously listening to the Spirit of God, prayerfully paying attention to how God is leading, but also simultaneously listening to yourself, because we're responding, we're bringing our own story to the time, and so we have to listen and make sure that we're not allowing that to interfere with our hearing of the other.
Right.
So it is a deep listening, and and you're right, it is an absolute gift to give to another. And as I was thinking about this question, what came to me immediately was that listening to God and this other that I'm companioning really begins before they ever show up and sit across from me or come to the screen of my computer on Skype. It really begins with my slow mornings and me learning how to be still within myself as I am still within God and listen to God in that space. And even when I meet with a directee, it is reinforced because before they come, I have the habit, most of the time, occasionally it doesn't work out, but I usually have the habit of at least being in my chair for a few minutes before they arrive. And in that space, again, kind of setting the posture that I want to have so that I can be clear and clean of anything that might interfere with my ability to listen. And then I think finally, it's just simply really losing myself in this person and what they're sharing, becoming absolutely absorbed in their telling of their story and of their life. And, you know, we pay attention to the language people use, like really specific words that seem to kind of shimmer or jump out or are very strong. I pay attention to body language and how they seem to be responding to what they're saying within their body, or emotions. We always use that phrase that we want to follow the tears. So if I see tears glistening, I know that this is something going on that's important to this person. So there's all of these things that you're kind of losing yourself in. It's really, in the purest form, it is contemplation. It's losing myself in this contemplative attitude of allowing the person who's sitting across from me to be who they fully are and to bear witness to who they are.
Oh, yes. I love that aspect of spiritual direction so much, that you get to honor what is, you know. Mm-hmm. And so often it's about giving permission to acknowledge what is actually happening.
Yes.
And you said to sort of immerse yourself, get lost in a person. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to a movie and the screen's really big and it's really loud and you're immersed in this other place. It's like this person is this canvas, this saga that God is writing. And you get to participate in what he's creating and what he's allowing.
Yes. We get a front row seat, don't we?
It really is. It really is a beautiful, beautiful vocation, I think, and the honor of someone being in your presence and getting to be their true self as much as they are able at the time, and to walk with them in that. I love it.
I do too.
Well, how do you, you know, as you're listening and as we were talking before, you know, in spiritual direction, it's called a spiritual director, but you're not really directing, you know, in that term in the way we normally think. So a lot of times we're asking questions. It's
right.
More about asking questions or pointing things out. So how have you developed the skill of asking good questions that leave their own process up to themselves?
Yeah. I say our questions are our power tools,
right,
in spiritual direction. They're really, you know, what we use in the process of listening to help a person experience how God is engaging them. So, yeah, I think I am still learning, and I have, and sometimes I feel way more effective than other times. Sometimes, you know, clear questions just really come, and other times I feel like I'm bumbling along.
Right.
But as I thought about this, I can trace it back maybe first of all to an honest curiosity about people. I mean, I really, really find people fascinating, and I'm genuinely curious about their lives. And so just having a curiosity, I get lost quite easily in someone's story. And whatever it is they're sharing with me, it can really grab my attention. So I think being a curious person helps. And then often, you know, questions come quite naturally as a result of being curious. I would say I've probably learned how to ask good questions by practice and noticing that some questions seem like they really open things up for someone, and other questions seem like they feel like a little bit of a miss. So when I've landed on a really good question, I will often use it over and over again because it seems like it's, for some reason, really does work. It does the heavy lifting in our times.
Do you have any examples of any of these? Are there any that are sort of generic that don't point out a person or anything, but just any goodie you could share with us?
Well, it'll sound so, I don't know, like unimpressive, but I think one of the best questions would just be, could you say more about? You know, when you just hear something and you can tell there is a lot going on here. And it helps them to slow down. Because, you know, I think sometimes we feel like we have this economy of time and we're not allowed to go into too much detail, or it feels self-indulgent.
Right.
Well, in spiritual direction, it is all about you. Right. You know, and so we sit with this directee and we can say, I'd love to hear more about. And I feel like that often will reap wonderful fruit, because it's really asking the person to drill down. Let's go deeper here.
Yeah.
So that would be one. And then I think a really common question, because we are wanting to know how this person is experiencing God, how God is communicating, a real common question would be, what is it like to pray about what you're sharing?
Well, that's a really good
one. Have you been able to pray? What would it be like to pray? How would you pray?
Yeah, those are really great questions. I love what you said about drilling down in. You're right, it is sort of deceptively simple. Tell me more about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a few words.
It is.
But what a door it flings wide open for permission to go where it would be good to go.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I love it.
Sure. Yeah.
What do you think are some of the benefits of spiritual direction? Let's say there's someone who's listening who has not heard of this very much, or maybe is a little curious and maybe pondering whether or not to seek out a spiritual director. Why would someone want to do that?
Yeah. Well, I think there are more reasons than we have time for me to share. And probably the same for you. But,
yes.
You know, I think for myself, both my husband and I meet monthly with a spiritual director. And I am so grateful for the time, because she is for me what I hope to be for others, this very safe person who provides sacred space for me to show up and truly be myself, whatever that means at that time. And I know that I will not be judged, but that I will be received and grace will be offered me. Now, who doesn't need that?
Right. Everyone. I know, I feel the same way. I've been meeting with my spiritual director now for 9 years. She is just the same as what you described. She knows my story.
Yeah.
And what's been wonderful for me about being with someone for that long, you know, and she's older than me, not quite old enough to be my mom, but far enough ahead that she's got some great life wisdom. But she, for so many years now, she can even hearken back to something I said years ago and say, you know, look at this, look at where you were, look at where you are. And so she's got this bigger arc of my life. And then she holds it, as you said, with such grace. And she'll tell me sometimes if I'm working through something, and then I'll get it however long later. You know, she'll let me know sometimes, you know, back when, you know, I knew that. You know, we've been together long enough where, you know, you have those conversations sometimes. But she lets me find my way, which is a beautiful, beautiful gift.
Wow. It is a beautiful gift. Yeah, like you spoke earlier, just the gift of being listened to. And to know it is not a reciprocal relationship. You know, I'm not there to listen to my director. She's there to listen to me. And she does. I think another thing, another benefit that I notice frequently for my directees is that meeting with a spiritual director can often help to normalize some of the things you're experiencing that you never knew were going to be part of the Christian life and spiritual journey. I was with a directee on Wednesday who I have known for some time, has been taking her next steps into a new stage of faith formation. And it has been beautiful, and it has been absolutely agonizing.
Oh, wow.
She has felt at times like she was totally losing her way, and simultaneously kind of feeling like she was finding her way.
Right.
To a new way. And it came so forward on Wednesday that she was able to articulate with some really great perspective what's been going on. And I think it's because I've been able to help normalize what she's been feeling. Otherwise, she would have felt like there's something wrong with me, or there's something wrong in my relationship with God. I'm really messed up here. But what I've been able to do is say, oh no, this is what it is like to enter a new stage of faith where it becomes more mystery.
Yes, we need guides like that, don't you think?
Oh, yes.
People who say it's okay. It seems sometimes in our Christian experience, depending on where you find yourself, you can be surrounded by people who don't know there's another level or another understanding or another place God might want to take you, and it can feel very lonely.
Oh, that's so true.
If you don't have someone who says, no, actually, the path can look like this, and here's how you might walk with God in this new terrain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that again, is such a gift. The other question I was going to ask was, maybe what do you talk about with a spiritual director? But we've kind of sort of hit on that a little bit, I think, in the conversation we've had so far. You know, if you find yourself in a place that you don't recognize, or, you know, like you said, to help normalize, you know, so that would be one time when you might want to seek spiritual direction. But are there other times that you can think of where someone would benefit from spiritual direction?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably another way to describe what you just maybe said, but I would say one of the most common reasons people come to meet with me is because they are in a difficult space, spiritually and with God. It's not uncommon for them to have gone through some kind of difficult circumstance, and they feel as though the rug has been pulled out from underneath them. They can't see where God is. They're angry with God. They're disappointed. They're disillusioned. And they're sad because they feel as though they have lost their intimacy with God. And what spiritual direction can often provide is a recognition that what you're going through is going to be the crucible for a deepening intimacy. It's just, you're not there yet. So I think disillusionment, disappointment, anger, sometimes even maybe a person would describe it more as a time of dryness. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they've enjoyed a really sweet, tender times with God, and all of a sudden prayer is changing. God seems far away and hidden. Maybe even what we'll call sometimes the dark night of the soul or the dark night of the senses, which is a term from St. John of the Cross. It just describes when I have been relating to God in a certain way, and no longer do I have the same experience of God through those spiritual practices or through that way of relating, and I feel lost, and I don't know where God is, and I don't know how to find my way toward God or to open myself to God. So while I would say there's, you know, many good reasons why you would seek out a spiritual director, those are some of the common reasons why I begin to meet with someone.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think I can see that in some of the people I meet with as well. There's a reason someone seeks out this relationship. You know, if everything is going along smoothly and hummingly, you know, we're not always looking for help. There usually is some presenting reason. I'd like to ask a couple more questions, and I think they actually might be the same question from both sides of the coin. One is, you know, what's one piece of advice you would give to someone who is currently, you know, in spiritual direction? And maybe then on the other side, as a spiritual director to spiritual directors, what's a piece of advice you might give to any practicing spiritual directors that are listening?
What came to my mind for the person in spiritual direction is just a passionate plea to show up and truly be who you are. Be real. take a risk, choose to be vulnerable, bring what really needs to come out in that time. Don't hold back. And trust that this spiritual director can handle it, that he or she is unflappable, that they will hold presence with you as you talk about whatever it is that is so deep in your heart that it's hard to open it to the light of day. But don't hold back, because after all, you're making an effort to come to this time. More than likely, you are paying some fee for this time. It is for you. So make it about what's really going on.
Oh, I could not agree more. That's really well said.
And then I would say for the spiritual director, I sure hope that spiritual directors are consistently practicing silence and solitude, which I think is the foundation of all spiritual practices, a spiritual relationship with God. And through the silence and solitude, they will also be caring for their own soul and their own spiritual well-being. So I hope that that their spiritual life is their priority, so that they really can come and offer the kind of presence that a directee needs and will benefit from.
Oh, Beth, thank you so much for that. You know, of course, this is Unhurried Living, so we could not agree more. You know, I know you do this as well as us. At pretty much any event or retreat that we lead, we set aside time right there for people to have solitude and silence, because it is the centerpiece, the heartbeat of my own walk with God. Those times that are set aside, I count those as my, you know, those are marker moments, sort of pillar times, where everything sort of stretches between those. So I could not agree more with you. I'm so thankful that you have said this. And I'm glad and thankful that you practice this life that you've shared with us. And again, I'm so thankful that you were able to take the time and share your graciousness. I'm going to give a plug again for Sustainable Faith Indy. Our time with you guys is one of the most memorable retreat times I've ever had, and it really was because of who you and Dave are. And I just wanted to thank you for how gracious and humble and loving. All of that we felt in your home, which is a retreat center, but you really are suited to what you do. And it was just a joy and a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thanks, Jim. I thoroughly enjoyed being with you, and obviously talking about something that is so near and dear to my heart, something I care deeply about. So I know that we are kindred spirits in this life that God has called us to live.
Yes. Well, again, thank you so much.
Well, that was a great conversation. Didn't you enjoy talking with Beth?
Oh, I loved it so much. We both agreed that it just the time flew and we could have just kept talking. We tried to keep the, you know, we had a time limit.
Yeah.
But we could have just enjoyed each other a little bit longer.
Yeah. And there were a number of good questions that the two of you talked about. One of them was you asked the question, how do you meet with God? It was sort of a real time. What does that look like for you? Or what is your personal experience tending your own prayer and contemplative life? So, you know, for you, what's that kind of look like these days?
Yeah, we thought it would be nice if maybe we shared both of our experiences with that as well, just so everyone can hear.
Yeah, kind of real time. This is what it's
this
like.
This is what I'm
days.
Doing. So, yeah, you know, in day by day, things come and go throughout seasons for you're focused on. For me, what I'm doing right now is I listen, not daily in this way, but I listen to scripture extended. And when I say listen, I mean listen.
You're listening to like an audio.
I have an audio of the Bible, and I enjoy listening to 2, 3, or 4 chapters all at once, you know, to get a broad, sweeping sort of overview. And it really is a unique way to take in the scriptures. I find that not only am I hearing, you know, the words, but you're getting a feel for what the person is saying. Maybe more tone comes in, or maybe some more insights can come in. And it's a different way than engaging just with your eyes, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Taking that way. So I enjoy listening a lot. Another thing that I do regularly is I have a binder with all my people in it. And I just enjoy praying for people.
Yes.
So lists include, of course, family and friends and people at church and anyone connected with Unhurried Living in any way. Even if I don't know your name, I'm praying for you. You know, podcast listeners.
Yeah.
Try to just pray for all the people in my life.
Yes.
And then another thing I really enjoy doing, because I love imagery, I love metaphor, I love photography, is our church actually provides art cards.
Yeah.
One of our pastors is an artist.
Yeah.
And so she'll produce these cards with these beautiful works of art on one side and then reflection and scripture on the other.
Yeah.
So I take time with those cards and just enjoy the image, see if there's anything meaningful that jumps out at me about that, and spend time meditating on the questions that are on the other side. So those are sort of life-giving day-to-day practices for me right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, you know, I guess on the day-to-day side of things, I recently transitioned from sort of going through the Bible chronologically. I was listening and reading at the same time. And for months, many, many months, actually, it was very meaningful, very life-giving. And then I got to a place where I just felt like it was too much content, like I was sitting at a table with, you know, 10 plates of food, and I didn't even know where to start. And so maybe just where I find myself, but I transitioned to going much, much slower. Once I finished the Old Testament in that reading plan, I just started into the New Testament readings, and I've been taking a little portion of a gospel passage and just practicing Lectio Divina. Read it, then reflect, then respond, and then rest. You know, the classic definition of that resting movement is contemplative prayer, a prayer of quiet, a prayer of presence. And so often, I'll just take some phrase from the passage I've been reflecting on and praying through, and I'll just sit for about 15 minutes quietly, letting my attention focus on God through the avenue of that little biblical phrase. I'm just trying to be attentive. I'm trying to be receptive. I'm trying to pay attention to God who's with me, so that the practice isn't just me doing my spiritual exercises. You know, that's good, I suppose, but I'm trying to experience it as a moment of encounter, an actual relationship, and not just a thing that's good for my soul to do.
Right.
And then, like you, I also have a way of keeping lists of the different people in our lives, you know, all the way from our own, you know, family and my, you know, extended family and close friends and folks in different arenas, folks at our publisher that I appreciate and want to pray for, friends that we've done ministry with recently or hope to do some ministry with. And I use my iPhone, just the Notes app. And I have a different note for each of these. And what's nice about that is I can update or add little notes from my phone or on my computer. And, you know, they sync up and it's easy to access them anytime. So at least for me right now, those have been good. The last thing is I'm trying to always have a good book going.
Oh, yeah.
And somewhere in the midst of my day, I try to set aside 30 minutes just for some focused, reflective reading in a really good book.
Yeah, I forgot to say that. I do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Not daily.
Yeah, but often.
But often enough that I have a book or two or three going at the same time. So,
Yeah. So another question that you talked together about was the art of listening to God and listening to another person. That's part of what spiritual direction actually is. And so kind of what does that look like for you, this dual listening mode in meeting with another for direction?
Yeah, I really think that's worth looking at again, even though we talked about that, just because it really is an art. And it, in order to listen well to someone else and to God at the same time, it's probably best if you know how to listen to God beforehand.
Yeah.
So there's a pattern in your life that you've developed of of listening to God in solitude and silence, listening to God in scripture,
mm-hmm.
right? And as you pray and are with him and have sort of a sense of being bathed already in his presence. So it's not like there's two people sitting across from you. You've got to figure out how to listen to two voices at the same time. There really is, God is with, which is obviously prominent.
Yes.
In spiritual direction. The true director is God himself, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. These are the directors. They're the ones in charge of the other person's life.
Yeah.
So there's just this way that you're keeping an ear open for any nudge as a director that you would hear that might benefit the other person. So being fully open, listening, a practice of being not distracted,
mm-hmm.
non-distraction, really listening and keeping yourself open to anything that God has ever given to you in the past that could help. It's mm-hmm. it's organic in nature, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think for me, part of it has been learning to listen for the purpose of understanding.
Yes.
To listen for the purpose of taking in what the person is saying. Because there's a different way of listening that sometimes as a pastor or even as sort of a problem solver, you know, in my roles, sometimes I've had that responsibility or at least thought I did. And so I'm listening to solve or I'm listening to answer or even somewhere in my head I'm listening to prepare my response, which is not a good mode for spiritual direction. Spiritual direction is more of a kind of spiritual hospitality where I'm simply listening to the one across from whom I'm sitting and the one in whose presence I'm sitting. Mm. And I'm just trying to notice what's happening in this human conversation, what might be happening in the divine conversation. And just, as you said, very much an art there. And one of the other things I'd say is it becomes so important for me not to be focusing on myself in direction.
Yes.
Like, will I have a good answer? Oh, no. Will I, you know, will I disappoint them because right. I don't have great counsel? Well, that's the wrong question. It's the wrong mindset to have. Yeah,
that'll suck the life right out of it, won't it?
Yeah, it will sure end the listening. I'm just listening to my anxieties. That's not yes. helping.
And I love what you said about really being present,
mm-hmm.
really taking in what the other person is saying. And that is a beautiful part of spiritual direction. I think I've been on both ends of that, really taking in someone who's listening. And my spiritual director has done the same for me.
Oh, yeah.
Really taking in what I'm saying, taking it to heart and caring. Well, so I hope you've enjoyed our interaction about spiritual direction here. Of course, we haven't covered everything that it is or isn't.
No, of course not.
This is just a taste of it. And we really wanted you to hear from Beth, she's really a master spiritual director. Mm-hmm. She teaches spiritual directors.
Yeah.
So now if you are looking for a spiritual director, we just want to share with you a couple of resources.
Sure.
One of them is SDI, which stands for Spiritual Directors International. It's really an eclectic association of directors worldwide,
mm-hmm.
and all religious traditions are represented.
That's right.
If that's interesting to you, you can go to sdiworld.org.
Mm-hmm.
Another great resource is called the ESDA, which stands for the Evangelical Spiritual Directors Association. And they are a ministry of grafted life. So mm-hmm. you can go find out more about them at graftedlife.org/ESDA.
So we want to thank you for joining us in this conversation on unhurried living. We hope to be an ongoing source of encouragement, inspiration, fresh vision, and strength for your life.
And remembering what Beth said about every spiritual director, and we, of course, would add all leaders to that.
Yeah.
Adding silence and solitude in their life is critical.
Yeah.
So we'd like to invite you to head on over to our online school and purchase Influence from the Inside Out. In that course, Alan leads you through 3 sessions of solitude and silence. We provide everything you need to open, engage, and debrief your unhurried time with God. So go to learn.unhurriedliving.com and look for Influence from the Inside Out.
You can always subscribe to our weekly emails by going to unhurriedliving.com/connect.
And be sure to subscribe to our podcast on either iTunes or Stitcher. Together, we'll continue to rest deeper, live fuller, and lead better.